all of you in peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. I'll take off my glasses. I think I'll see better. Here's a description of the perfect pastor. The perfect pastor preaches exactly 10 minutes. He condemns sin roundly, but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. until midnight and is also the church janitor. The perfect pastor makes $40 a week, wears good clothes, drives a good car, buys good books, and donates $30 a week to the church. He's 29 years old and has 40 years of experience. Above all, he is handsome. The perfect pastor has a burning desire to work with teenagers, and he spends most of his time with the senior citizens. He smiles all the time with a straight face, because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to the church. He makes 15 home visits a day, and he is always in his office, handy when needed. The perfect pastor always has time for church council and all its committees. He never misses the meeting of any church organization and is always busy evangelizing the unchurched. Today we're looking at the book of 1 Timothy and learning about what the Bible says about how to be a good leader as a Christian. I believe that all of us are called to be leaders in the church and at home, because whether we like it or not, all of us have someone who is looking to us, whether it's for comfort or needs us for correction or is looking to us for guidance. And you may not desire to be a leader. You may not think of yourself as a leader, but you're still leading people. The only question is, to where and how are you leading them? What's funny about that perfect pastor explanation is that it really details a lot of what we want our pastors to be like. Most of it's actually very good and very true. The problem is that no one person could do all of those things. I mean, we recognize that. That's what makes it funny. The pastor is meant to be one leader within the church, but not the only leader within the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, St. Paul explains that pastors are called to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So God didn't create perfect pastors, because the only way that the body of Christ works, the only way that a church works, is if everyone, the entire body, is doing a part of the work. A pastor doesn't need to do 15 home visits a day and always be in the office at the same time, because that would be impossible for any one person to do. However, people still need visited, and someone still needs to be in the office. Every pastor won't be good with youth and good with senior citizens. However, both groups need support from somebody. Thankfully, God wants us all involved to do the ministry of the church. And he knows that the only way the church is really going to live out its calling is if everybody takes part. So when I began working on this message, I looked back at my resume. I looked back at what I wrote, like, for my first call in Connecticut, and then when I first moved here, what I thought was important about church leadership back when I was younger. I believed at the time that my two best skills were preaching and teaching, like important theological concepts, and that two areas when I first began as a pastor that I felt I would be the weakest in was youth ministry and pastoral care with the elderly. But apparently I was wrong. After the years went by, I realized I actually had this like backwards, in fact. I was completely wrong. While my sermons are okay, I hope, most of the time, my Bible studies, again, are okay most of the time, those probably aren't my strengths as a pastor. If you want to hear the best sermons, that's why they made YouTube. You can go on there and listen to someone who's amazing, okay? It's probably not going to be here every week. However, I have a passion for working with youth and young adults. And I love going on visits, homes, hospitals, nursing homes. So how could I have been so wrong? I went to seminary to learn this stuff and I've got it completely upside down. I don't really know why I got it so wrong, but I will tell you this. Whatever it is that's keeping you from leading in the church, from doing things, you might be surprised that the things you think you're worst at, that's actually what God needs you there to do. God can use you. A favorite quote of Christy and mine is this: God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. God wants to use you. Maybe he wants to use your gifts, or maybe he wants to surprise you by showing you you had gifts you didn't even know you had. What he wants to do is use you to do the work that he's called you to do, and maybe even turn your weaknesses into strengths. The reason this works is because we work in God's power, not in our own. Something else that I've learned as a pastor is that I really and truly don't believe that leadership in the church is about your skill sets. It's about your character. I want to read to you from 1 Timothy. Again, in 1 Timothy, he talks about two types of leaders, overseers and deacons. In other parts of Scripture, you'll call them presbyters or pastors. But this is what he says that you're looking for. It says, now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Now, how many of those are skills that you can go to school and learn? Maybe the teaching one, maybe? But all the rest have to do with your character. Faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, respect, generosity, hospitality. I mean, these many of them are the fruits of the Spirit. So that means God's got to work in you. You can't just learn these on your own. But if your heart's in the right place, God can use you to do great things in his church. Every time that you're a part of something like reading scripture, or greeting someone at the door, or helping back in the sound booth, helping out at Grow, serving on council, people are going to care a lot more about your character than about how good you are at one particular skill. You can learn a skill. You can go to school to learn things. But you have to build character over a period of time. And you really need God's help to do that. But the thing is, we don't just lead people as Christians here at the church. Some of the most important ways that we lead comes from the work we do in our families and in our homes and at the workplace and in our schools. Once again, these people are not interested primarily in what you can do for them, but how you love them, how you serve them, and where you're leading them. Perhaps even more importantly, we really need to ask ourselves, how are we leading right now? And how would we like to change our leading so that we're pointing and shining a light on Jesus more often? In the book of Joshua, Joshua has just begun leading the Israelites after the death of Moses, and he makes this important statement. It's Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's the most famous part of that scripture reading. But what Joshua's doing here is he's making it clear that everyone following him has a choice to make. Follow God or follow something else. There's really no way you can compromise between the two. This is true as leaders too. We're leading people somewhere. Question is, where? What makes Joshua a good leader? He just comes right out and say it. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's where you're going. If you follow me, you're going to be serving the Lord. So are you willing to make that same statement in front of your family? That you're going to follow the Lord. That's where, if they follow you, that's where they're going to get. Or what about at work or at school? Is that where you're leading people? What would your family say is the most important thing to you? Is it God or is it football? Is it your work, your reputation, maybe how much money you make? What would your kids say is the most important thing to you? We're all leading the people in our lives to something. We're leading them somewhere. I just think we need to make sure that we're leading them to a closer relationship to Jesus. So leadership comes with responsibility, but it also comes with a lot of promises that God says that he will be with you and give you whatever you need to succeed. However, even more than that, God promises another blessing that comes through leadership in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. See, I believe that people who lead in the church or at home, at work, that they're given strength by God's Holy Spirit to do whatever they're called to do. Even during difficult times, God sees them through. The same holds for, think about when you're with your family doing difficult things. Sometimes I'm amazed at how God gives me the strength to do things I just despise to do. He gets me through them. And when I get through them, I think, wow, I couldn't have done that without God. And that strengthens my faith in him even more. So I encourage you not to miss out on these blessings that come from being a leader, both at home and in your church, because it's not about what you can do on your own, but what God can do through you. As Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We should never try to lead on our own. Only by being good followers of Jesus can we be good leaders. You'll never be expected to do anything by yourself in the church because God is always at work here. And we're not looking for perfect people. We're looking for forgiven sinners who trust in God's mercy and strength to do their jobs. Trust in God's mercy and grace when we make mistakes. So how? How can you serve? How can you be a leader? There are so many ways to be involved. There are big ways, and there are very small ways, but they're all important. Soon the council is going to be looking for people to nominate to be on the council again. And there are always worship responsibilities to be filled. Grow can use more teachers and helpers. Whenever there's funerals, we need people to serve the food. We'll soon be looking for people to visit again by having a Stephen Minister training program. And we could always use people to help with slides and with cameras and with the sound in the back. But even more than the things that are here at church, every week your family needs you to lead them to church on Sundays and into a faithful relationship with him each and every day. Lead by example, through devotions, through prayer, through Bible reading at home. Let your kids catch you doing these things, and they'll know that it's important to you. Witness to your kids about how God is alive and active. Have a God story time during supper time, and tell them, I saw God doing this here. Your kids will start to think, oh, I should be looking for him in my life too. And it doesn't just need to be your kids. Sometimes you need to do this for your parents, or for your friends, or for the people at your workplace. We are all leaders in this life. I hope that we can honestly say that when people look at our lives, that we are leading them in the way of Jesus. Amen.